Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. And 13 of a message titled Always Content. And I have purposely in my life, since I've given my life to Jesus Christ, tried to stay in that mindset of being content. And I say that because I remember before I gave my life to Christ, I was always going from one thing to another. It didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter what it, it was either another car, or I needed a bigger this, or I needed another boat, or I needed a newer boat, or I needed a nicer jet ski. Or, you know, whatever it was always something that I was longing for. And it was so ironic that the time that in September 20th of 2004 that I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I realized again shortly after that in the coming weeks and months, really understood that what happened that day was God filled the greatest of needs in my life, and that was the emptiness of heart that was the thing that had pushed me to desire these different things that I was clamoring at to try to fill a God-shaped hole in my heart. That's why now I truly can sit on a bench, and I could do that for weeks. And I really say this with all sincerity. I could sit on a bench for weeks and watch people. I could sit on a bench for weeks or on my swing on my back porch, and I could have lemonade or unsweet tea with some Splenda in it, and I could sit there for weeks, if not months, and be completely content. Why? Because the Lord's all I need. I say that, again, with all sincerity. I can do that for extended periods of time where when, if you'd have known me before I got saved, I prided myself. I couldn't talk on the phone without pacing. I don't mean pacing. I could walk a hole through carpet because I could not ever sit still. Not only could I not sit still, I never could have quiet. Quiet for me is a little different now. I have tinnitus. My ears ring. So I have to have a sound machine or a fan, like your kitchen fan over your microwave. You can't have complete silence in my house because my ears ring so bad I want to answer it. I don't have quiet in that respect. But if you have a nice, quiet fan in the background, I can sit there forever like that. Be at complete peace, sit for months, and enjoy the peace and quiet, meditating, praying, and enjoying. And tonight's message points to, is there anything in your life tonight that you are battling with needing to be content? Is there something tonight in your life that you're striving for? Maybe you think about retirements, you know. Well, if I just get to this dollar amount, then and I'll finally be able to relax and I'll stop stressing. I'll tell you what, you better hope that's not you. And the reason that I say that is you need to be content if you don't have anything. Or if you have a lot, or anywhere in between, it doesn't matter. I can promise you one thing. In very short order, God can take everything from you. You might think, well, no, I got all these things. Let me just tell you, you don't understand what I'm telling you. Please understand what I say to you. God can take everything from you. He can take everything to where what you have left, you will not care anymore about. He can take everything from you. That fast. There's one distinctive reason, though, that can prevent this. That is when you willingly give God everything and your heart needs nothing more than Him. Then you're able to use what God's blessed you with in the proper context and use it with the proper motivation for God's glory. And you begin to see everything with which is only a means with which that we are created to glorify God. What is your relationship, your marriage? What is that?
That is merely a reflective picture of Christ and the church, the creative blessing that God has done nothing more than the option with which we have to glorify Him. That is the sole reason we were created. Not to glorify us, not to serve us. It's the polar opposite. Our entire created purpose is to glorify God and to do His good will. That's our sole objective. You realize that? We weren't created for us. We were created for Him. Therefore, until we realize that and live within the context of that being our reason, that what in Him we live, move, and have our being. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, the works that He prepared for us in advance. What does that speak to? God's creative purpose for us. His will for us is not even our will or desire. It is what He has prepared for us in advance. What does that say? That means that He is supposed to be the Lord of our life. Again, there's nowhere in Scripture that God says, my desire for you is to be happy. My desire for you is to fulfill the inclinations of your heart. No. It's to fulfill His will, His purpose, and plan for our life. And by the way, let me tell you from someone who knows it better than anybody. I thought I had peace, hope, joy, and fulfillment. I wish I could share what I tried. Because you haven't thought of half of it yet. And if you have, I would call you depraved. I was a very broken person that God reached down in the depth of His mercy and grace and opened my heart to show me the depth of my sin, with which I was able to reach out for the loving, merciful gift that Jesus Christ extends. And I thank God that day that no longer was I a slave to my passion, to substances, and the things with which I tried to fill this void that I had in the brokenness of my flesh. And it's such a blessing that day that God saved me, that no longer was I a slave to that. Now we have the ability, even as followers of Jesus Christ, to yield ourselves to that nature, and I will encourage you not to do that. As a matter of fact, the scripture gives us a rife warning. It is better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. That is one of the scariest warnings, I think, that we can read in Scripture. Why? Read the rest of it. Read what happens when we clean the house, but do not allow the Spirit of God to fill it. What happens is the wicked spirits go to arid places seeking rest. And when they go and find no rest, they come back and find, and I preached this in the last 6 months, they find what house? Anybody remember? Their house. It says they come back and find their house empty. If you remember when I preached that, there was an interesting thing that happens at salvation. There is a title transformation, a transfer that occurs. A house that is swept empty and looks pretty is what? A whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. But a transforming work of God, there is a transfer that takes place. What is that? Substitutionary atonement. It's when the work of salvation is applied to our account and our sin account is wiped clean. That is what happens when a transformation, a transference occurs, a transfer of the title. All of us have a title spiritually, so to speak. Either tonight the enemy holds it, or we are a born-again, regenerate follower of Jesus Christ that doesn't just know religion, but knows a relationship with Jesus Christ in a transformed state. It's not merely a figment of an imagination. It is an actual occurrence that happens at salvation. So when the demons, are swept clean, right, with religion, and there is a work of God, it comes back and it does not find its home. It finds the title has been transferred to the kingdom of light and no longer of darkness. So therefore, it has no place to return to because it no longer has the ability to take up residence any longer in a place that it no longer has ownership of. Philippians chapter 4 tonight, this picture of always being content is a picture of a regenerate life. It's a picture of a life yielded to the power of God. And again, just two verses, verse 12 through 13. And if you're able physically, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word. I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word. Once again, the promise of it, Lord, speak now as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of verse 12 again. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. Stop right there. I want to share the first principle that comes from that verse tonight is this. We will have times of much, times of little, or times of little, and times of much. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. What? To everything there is a season, a time, to every purpose under heaven. Yes, it's not just the song that many of us know. To everything, turn, turn. It's funny, isn't that right? It's out of a Bible verse. Most people don't know that even Kansas, the group Kansas, that everybody thought was a 70s, you know, headband, one of them was a believer, and actually one of those wrote a lot of the songs. He was a follower of Christ. And if you know Carry On Our Wayward Son, huh? There is interesting theology in a lot of Kansas, and that was done purposely. It's really a powerful thing if you study a lot of the history behind the group and the songs. But there's going to be times in our life that God's going to allow us to have little, and there's going to be other times that God allows us to have much. Why? Well, it's not our plan, it's not our purpose, it's not our time, it's God's. I often think that faith is merely a word without the demonstration of faith. You watch the picture of Abraham. By the way, it's beyond comprehension. We could sit and talk about this for hours tonight, theologically speaking, with the call that God placed on Abraham's life. Here is this man. Will someone please enlighten me to why God picked him? Please tell me. Tell me it was because of some lineage. It was because of something profound somewhere in his family history that God said, I want you. God just decided it. Let me just tell you, it's what the scripture says. God can do whatever he wants to do. And that's pretty cool. Because he's God and we're not. So you see, when you think about Abraham and you recognize what his family represented, friends, it was a whole lot more complex and complicated than we can begin to imagine. There was a whole lot involved with Abraham's family even at this point. He didn't have a U-Haul. He didn't have a stretch trailer, RV, and horse and cattle, moving equipment, by no means. The undertaking that it would have been for Abraham to move his family would have been one that was astronomically complicated, especially considering that day and time. So when God says to him, I want you to go to a place I'm going to tell you. By the way, I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm just going to tell you, I want you to go. And by the way, let me give you let me incentivize it. If you will listen and be obedient and go in faith, I will bless you. I'll make your descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sands on the shore. Choose wisely. I'm a thinker. Might not know it, but I am. My mind goes on a reel. Whatever you said to me today, I'll process tomorrow. I mean this. I process it around 24-hour loop. So about the 24-hour period, whatever said to me that I didn't really catch today will go through that loop sometime tomorrow. Sometimes I catch pretty profound things, and I'll call and say, hey, by the way, I'm just processing what you said yesterday. Is this what you said? Sometimes it's pretty big. Sometimes not. But nonetheless, I process it 24 hours around afterwards. I've thought a lot about Abraham and this choice and this undertaking that God had called him to be a part of. I can't imagine how much faith it took to do what he did. I'll just be honest. And what's so amazing about it is I've been to what they call Abraham's tent in Israel. It's beautiful what he had the view of. The view of the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. But remember this parting that happens from Abraham in. Remember? One went one way, one went the other way. Lot. Where'd Lot go? The arid plains. Look down there, it's beautiful. He had the nice, beautiful land, the flat land. Abraham had basically like us, a bald Rocky Mountain. Serious. God blessed him. Incredibly, exponentially. We know what happened a lot. Didn't turn out too good. But see, in God's time, in faith, and obedience, always equals blessing. There's one thing that has to be taken out of that equation, though. It's us. It's not saying, well, God, I understand, I want to go, but God, I've got some logistical issues that I'm struggling with here. Can you give me a little bit more, God? No. Let's have less of your mouth and more of your obedience. There's nothing in the Bible that says God wants to know what we think about his plan. Nowhere. Nowhere. Now, we know we get ones like Samson who... his parents give him good biblical wisdom and counsel and say, please, let's not go get her. Why don't you get someone from here? This is God's people, and these are the people that love the Lord. Why don't you find a beautiful young lady out of all these people here, son? Come on, God has a great plan for you. Oh, no, I want her. Get her for me. Okay. God even lets us choose judgment, pain, and hurt that systemically affects everyone around. It does. As I shared this morning about the 22-year-old that decided to get drunk this weekend, killed that doctor's wife, go on her Facebook and let her beautiful family and just gorgeous and this just beautiful life and her husband, love the Lord, godly family, oh, she's dead. Why? Because this vile decision that a 22-year-old kid made to go hit someone else and then 5 minutes later kill this man's wife. Yeah, we get the choice, don't we? We get the choice. But yet there's consequences. But see, the picture of Abraham is a picture of obedience, a picture of being content in God's plan. Being content in the trivial, in a sense, the world considers meaningless life of being a God follower. We're in the Old Testament, so I'm not saying a Christ follower because, again, doesn't at that point apply. But we are going to have times of much, times of little. We're going to have all of that everywhere and in between. And we've got to recognize that, again, it all plays into God's divine plan and purpose for our life. And it's okay during those times of little to know that God is still on the throne. God's still on the throne when you are Job, And one after another, servant after servant, has come through, one with a successive declaration of loss that gets greater and greater with each person that shows up. God's still God. He's still on the throne, but yet there is one again. The same picture we see with Abraham and his choice to go and be obedient is the same picture when the last person comes through and the ones he loved the most, his children, by the way, because why he offered sacrifices for his children just in case they had accidentally cursed God to help prevent them from falling into a place of judgment. That's what Job did. See, that's what being a God follower is all about. What is it about? It's Job's response. And Job's response is to tear his clothes, which, by the way, is merely an act of grief, to put on sackcloth, to sit down in the ash pile, and then he says this: naked I came, naked I go, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he worshiped. Praise God. See, what Job was showing is a heart of contentment. Contentment with what? Well, to be content in whatever circumstance that he faced. What did Abraham show us? Well, he had to be content in whatever circumstance God enabled him to be a part of, which is God's plan or God's judgment. Obedience, his plan; judgment, outside of his plan. He gives us the option for either or. We saw God give Abraham the choice the same way that Job had the choice to do what? What Satan was convinced he'd do: curse God and die, as his wife urged him to do, by the way, at one point. I'll be honest with you, right? You want to do the joke part of the message is, I would have been Job, but I said, God, why couldn't you have taken her and left a couple of the kids? Because his wife was like, dude, your life is awful. Curse God and die. Which is exactly what Satan had said that Job would do, yet no. He says, can I not take the curses, but yet take the blessings? It's interesting. Job says in there, what, at one point? Though you slay me, yet I will trust you. He trusts God's plan. He trusts God's purpose. And Job decided, yet he did get to the point where he cursed the day he was born. Cursed be the day when they said, here is a young boy that's been born. I can imagine that he got quite uncomfortable. He had a bunch of reprobate friends who had counsel that was completely everything that was outside of any logic and reason. But there's a purpose to everything and a reason. And then in the second part of verse 12, in any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need. The second thing I want to share with you tonight comes from that part of the verse. It's learning the secret of contentment unlocks life's purpose. Learning the secret to contentment unlocks life's purpose. Now, how would that play? What is the secret of contentment? Recognizing that God's created us with a divine purpose and a plan. So that in and of itself unlocks life's purpose. What is the secret of contentment? Realizing that in all things, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in all things give thanks. Why? This is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things. All things is inclusive. There's two little L's with an A in front of it, is completely inclusive of everything. If it had limitations to it, it would be limited in the scope that it was said, in all things but, in most things apart from. There would be an exclusionary zone that would differentiate the things with which we could be content in, but also the things that it distinguished were areas that we did not have to be. But yet, no, it is inclusive in its scope is everything, all. It leaves no room to question in all things. What? Give thanks. Why? This is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning who? Well, you and me, all of us. Again, it's all inclusive because in its scope covers from leather to leather. It's continuous, total thing, everything. And that secret to contentment, see, it unlocks the purpose of life. And again, what is the purpose? It's to be within Him. In Him we move, we live, and we have our being. We are contained within the scope of God's creative purpose and plan for our life. That is the definition of everything that we are. Remember, apart from Him, we are nothing. That's why it's so sad when you're a Stephen Hawking and you're so brilliant that you have become a fool, Romans chapter 1. Though they claim to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because they exchanged the glory of God, the immortal, invisible, the only wise God. They exchanged it for a lie and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. That's the sad reality of it. And what actually happens is you think that you're functioning at the height of wisdom when this happens. But the Bible says you have been turned over to a delusion, a strong delusion. But see, that is the outflow of our rejection of God. That is the rejection of contentment, the rejection of God's blessing, the rejection of Christ, the rejection of everything that God's creative order screams for us. There comes the Proverbs 1. It's the manifestation of all of that, that God finally one day says, okay, you can have it. King Saul. You want a king. You keep asking. I've warned you. I've told you what'll happen. I don't want you to have a king. I don't want to turn you over to your own devices, but there comes a point when I love you so much, I will give you what you want. And by the way, I will fill you with it. Ask the Israelites as they're in the desert wandering. Oh, we're so tired of manna. We've eaten it. We've eaten it. God, just give us some meat. Oh, I'll give it to you. I will give it to you until it runs out of your nostrils, until you vomit it. As Proverbs tells us, how can a man believe you can ever get too much honey? Yes, you can. The proverb tells us, I won't try it. I don't want to dislike honey. But I know one thing, you can get too much of it. Trust me. The same way that you can get too much quail. You keep pushing and pushing and God will give it to you. I can promise you don't want none when He does. Because He'll give it to you till it comes out of your nostrils and then some. But you don't want Him turning you over to your own devices because it is the greatest area to be pitied because you become a prisoner of your own mind and doing at that point. God's desire for us is to be content within the scope of His created purpose. Again, God is the Creator. He therefore has the right to do with the creation what He wills and desires. Amen? Again, though, in the beauty of God's love, even though He could will us to do whatever He wants us to do and nothing else, no, He gives us free will. He gives us free will. He gives us free will to tell Him to take a flying leap. Don't want none, God. I've had enough. I want to go to heaven one day, but I will not yield my wants, wills, and desires, my plans and purposes to yours. God, I will be my Lord. See you in heaven. Doesn't work. because he's again Romans chapter 9. He's the potter. We are the clay. But why did God make us like that then? Why did he even give us a will? People said that to me. Why did he give us a will? Ready? Romans 9 answers it. Who are you, O man, to say to God, why did you make me this way? Word for word. That's deep. He can do whatever he wants to do as long as it's not sin. He cannot sin. His holiness won't allow him to. See, learning that secret to contentment unlocks life's purpose. Do you know life's purpose? When you understand, and it is so deep, but yet so simple. Why did God create this? Why did you go in your backyard and plant flowers? Why did you go in your backyard and set up some rocks and make a little waterfall and put some little fish in it? Why did you go in your backyard and plant some bamboo and some irises? And why did you go in your backyard and plant some forsythias? And why did you go and plant a cypress tree? Why did you go plant some tulip poplars? Why did you go rock the front of your house and make a beautiful cobblestone walkway? Why? Because you wanted to create beauty. You want to be a good steward. You wanted something beautiful. Why don't you start thinking about God then? Because we are an expression of him. God created us for his good pleasure, his purpose, his glory. The same way that when we create something, we don't just do it because, we do it with a purpose, don't we? See, God did too. Why all of a sudden can we have a purpose in creating things, but all of a sudden, well, it makes no sense that God would create us. It makes no sense, right? Because we are his creation, only desiring to rebel against the authority as the creator who has again sovereignly destined us with a beautiful purpose and plan. Will we fulfill it? Will we find it? That's the question. Will you be content with the blessing that God gives you, that he gives me? Verse 13, and I love this. We finish up with this. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. God is the source of all we are and all we hope to be. God is the source of all we are and always hope to be. There's nothing we can do tonight that God can't give us the ability to do. Only what God does not want us to do tonight will he not give us the strength to do, but yet in our humanity we can still choose to do what his desire is for us not to do. By the way, he lovingly tries to prevent us from that. But I'm so thankful tonight that God's the source of all we are. Again, he created us. And he has the right to make out of the clay what he desires because he's the potter. Isn't that awesome? We have the right tonight to be Samson. Get her. Get him. I want her. I want him. As you see the Spirit of God, I have something beautiful for you. No, I want her. I want him. I want it. Okay. We also have the right to keep our mouths shut when we're at the grinding wheel with our eyes poked out. And the secret to our strength revealed. It's profound spiritually. See, God doesn't call us to offer sacrifices like Saul did when Samuel was supposed to be the one, the Levites. It's not the job for Saul. When they were moving the ark, I shared this, I preached it a couple of times in 13 years. I reference it quite often because it is pretty profound. They built this beautiful cart. By the way, it wouldn't have just been some cart that they just whipped together. It would have been beautiful. It would have been ornate. It would have been gorgeous. That they decided that they wanted to put the ark on and have this incredible demonstration of how amazing this ark is and how awesome and beautiful. And David's lead is dancing and there's music and it's incredible. This act of worship. And you got these oxen that are pulling this cart. And one of them stumbles. And the ark looks like it's going to fall. So then we get another really godly guy that loves the Lord, and he's in this procession of worship, and he decides, well, I dare would never want the ark of God to fall. So our dear friend Uzzah reaches out and stabilizes, touches the ark of God, with which sudden cardiac death ensues instantaneously. By the way, the worship stopped. The music stopped. And Uzzah was DRT, dead right there. David gets mad. David gets mad. God, why in the world? We're doing this. Uzzah, you kill smoked one of our good men. What's the problem here? Come on. You think you'd had trouble? I'm paraphrasing. You think you'd had trouble if you just listened to what I'd said? They never should have been on an ark, you cart builders. And that's what they did. They relegated themselves to rebels, diviners, witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Basically, it was like having a seance instead of an act of worship. And anybody who was a God-fearer would have said, God, come on, what are you talking about? Look what they were doing. No, rebellion is rebellion. At the basic of forms, it is rebellion, period. Stop putting lipstick on a pig and saying it's a model. It's rebellion. The ark was never supposed to be on a cart. Period. I don't care what it looked like. We'll transition into a message right now called cart building. I remember it word for word. I preached that message, titled that, 12 and a half years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday because it was so profound to me and still is. Cart building. Christians all over the place are cart building, church. They're building carts left and right. They're telling God, I'm going to worship you in this new and exciting way. Oh, God, look at my cart. It's beautiful. And then when God rejects your sacrifice, who do you get mad at him? Oh, come on. How infantile. To obey is better than sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, as that song says, let's get back to the heart of worship. Because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. As that song, Michael W. Smith say, so I fall on my knees, so it's you that they see, not I. Jesus, you be lifted high. God be the glory. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's holiness. I'm talking about making our homes sacred ground. I'm talking about getting the idols out of the house. I'm talking about let's get Jesus preeminent in our homes, in our hearts, but it's got to be in our hearts before it'll ever be in our homes. Let's get serious about always being content, about getting serious about the Lord in our homes. Have the words of your mouth and meditations of your heart. Come on, tell me. Are they pleasing and acceptable in his sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer? How is your heart? See, the cart builders thought their heart was good. Samson thought his heart was good, because why? It was what he wanted. I mean, after all, I'm under a Nazirite vow. Didn't keep his getting from his eyes plucked out, did it? It didn't do anything for him when he found himself grinding at the wheel with ill repentance. Terrible consequences. His final act of worship was judging the Philistines, and he died with them. Sound like a holy way to go out? I don't want nothing to do with it. Amen? Yeah, God used him. All things work together for good. God showed himself true. But it cost Samson his ministry and his life. Yeah, God used it. God used it. But we know that God's not the author of sin. And we know that those things were able to be used of the Lord and were of the Lord because, yes, God can take our sin and he can use it. And he does, and he will, because that's his promise. We're going to have times of little and times of much, church, again. Learning the secret, the contentment, it unlocks life's purpose. Tonight, are you content in little and much? Have you learned the secret to that contentment? Have you unlocked your purpose? It is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the kids. No. It's about him.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.